years now. So we're going to hear some stories, I hope, and great times. Come on up.
Thanks. It's really great to be back. Just want to introduce my partner in crime, a good friend, Simon Pask, who's with me planting church in Nagoya, Japan. Would you stand up, Simon? He also works with me for TurboCam, and we've been all week working hard, playing hard back in New England. That's been great to see the growth and developments of TurboCam and all that God's doing there. So I'm a bit put out, actually, that you guys are meeting here. And when we were living in Dover, in Cushing Street, for the year and a half, you were far, far away. So it would have been nice to walk to church. I've never had the privilege of doing that, but it is great to be here. I think it's a great location. I drive in, and the first thing I see is the big sign, and just exciting to be in this venue. It's just very, just exciting. So you guys are moving on every time I come back, which isn't very often. It's new, and more things are happening, so it's really great to be back. I thought I'd give a little bit of an introduction and a little bit of an update on the family. Some of you wouldn't have known us, so I'll show a few pictures. Other of you would love to see what's happening because you may not get a chance to talk to me. I've got a few pictures. This is my wife, Julie, on the left, and we now have three. When we left, we had two. Now we've added another little girl called Zanna, and she is... So we have... Jessica on the right, she's nine, and then, so we call her Jess, then there's Elizabeth, we call her Beth, in the middle she's six, and then Susanna, we call her Zanna, so we shorten them all. We have long names, short names, and then they can choose whatever they want later on. So they are fantastic. My house is full of pink things, and we have a hamster. He is male, he's called Rufus, and we sit and have a beer occasionally, and... Just connect on guy things. So it is great. They are the most wonderful girls. My wife is still the most beautiful person I've ever met. And we love being in Japan. We've been there for 5 years now. So this blonde family in a nation of dark hair. And so we stand out, but there are people that are very respectful, very interested, very excited to know what we're doing and what we've been there. We have a few visitors to Japan. I don't know if you can see that. That's Mr. Wona, they call him. So Marion visits regularly. So we get quite a lot of connection with you through him and obviously other people that we connect during the weeks and months. So he's a big fan, you know, of these girls love Mr. Wona, and he brings them cuddly animals and lots of foods and treats from America, but they have a lot of fun. I thought what I'd do is, one of the amazing things about these girls is they speak fluent Japanese, probably better than me. Well, Jessica, they don't have to think about the grammar. Like, I'm listening to someone going, was that the past tense, or was that yesterday? And, you know, Jessie will just know, and they don't learn by grammar, they just absorb it. So it's just amazing to see them learn some Japanese. So I thought I'd give you a video clip of Beth. This was taken about 2 weeks ago. We had this event at the preschool, and she was just interacting. So I thought I'd give you a little clip of these girls just in their environment there. So let's see how that goes. Ooh, it should start as the well. Anyway, it's amazing to see. Yeah, that's all right. We'll move on. The girls. It's not amazing actually. It's just the clip's just quite clear. Anyway, so for the girls, they've really adapted well, and they've managed to blend in. I think being homeschooled, Julie's teaching them English, reading and writing, and also. They go, Jessica and Beth start to go to the local school, so they have both, so they feel at home, so they can play the games, they can join in, they feel very at home there, even though they're blonde hair, blue eyes, and occasionally that's like, why do I have this color, and they all, you know, that kind of question that for parents that's challenging, but actually when they start to speak the language, they can play the games, they can join in, all the, it just, the other, you know what kids are like, they just learn to play and do that. So they've done really well, they're really great. So family-wise, it's just great to live. We've got a great house. We managed to purchase something there with a bit of space on a no-through road. Great place to live. And what we're doing there is that God called us to go to Japan to be part of making disciples of all the nations and planting a church there. So we're in Nagoya, Japan, and that's Tokyo. And then we're to the west of Tokyo and in a city called Nagoya. Now, Nagoya, next slide, has 2.1 million people in the kind of main part of it. It's very concrete, it's but actually more spread out than Tokyo. That's the castle there you can see with the kind of little green tops. So when you look out on the city, it's just a mass of buildings and apartments, and any place you get to go on a high location, you can see just people everywhere. And at night especially, there's apartment lights. They have these blocks of apartments with maybe, I don't know, between 10 and like 100 units, and they all very similar, and they've all got a light in the entrance way. So you get these very, from a high building, you can see these lights all across the city, and it's people there. And that's why we're there. We're there in Japan because there are people there that God loves, that God wants to see come into his family. And so the mission, that what we're doing there, why we left England, why we came to America to get trained, why we've gone on to Japan, is because God's called us to reach people, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with Japanese people. So we're doing all that we can to do that, to learn language, to help explain, communicate the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ in every way we can that relates to them. So next slide, we've started a church called Grace City, and this is in Japanese, Grace City Church. And this is Nagoya, so that's the kanji. I'm glad that came up. And this is a kind of cityscape of the city. Grace City, you might be thinking, wow, you've got a kind of English name, even though you're Japanese. Well, actually, the new churches in Japan, instead of choosing a Japanese name, like much of the rest of the culture, English is very popular, it's very relevant. Many of the songs I was driving in the car listening to, at least 10 Japanese J-pop songs, and every one of them had at least two lines in English, like, I want to live, and so they kind of pop in, I have a dream, and then they pop back into Japanese. So these songs, English is very, the countercultural, the kind of English is still very, very important for the Japanese. The influence from America and the signage is a lot in English. So actually having international context in the church is actually very interesting. People are intrigued about what are you doing, who are you? They're intrigued about Christianity. They like Jesus. Not many have heard of him, but those who've had know, oh, it's something to do with good people and they do good things. So, you know, for Japanese people, Jesus was good, and the people who kind of follow him were good. I mean, they don't deal very well with wars and that kind of thing, but it's kind of like there's a warmth, there's a favor there towards us as we share what we believe. They expect that we have a different belief system as we come from another nation. So that helps. There's not the antagonism. There's not some of the cynicism that is challenging in, say, the US and the UK. So that makes it quite an enjoyable experience to share about Jesus. It's not coming with people with a lot of history that they're immediately processing what you're saying and fitting it into their box that they've had. So give you a quick snapshot of the church. And this is us in March 2007. You can see Simon there. There he is. His hair grew since then. Anyway, and he grew smaller because in Japan we eat great food, less of it. And so that's our church plant in 2007, our tiny team meeting in our living room. And then the next July, that following July, a few more people came. We've got people from different churches in New Frontiers family. So a number of these people, Helen here is from the church in Brighton, and then David and Danielle, they are from the church in South Africa. And we've got some Japanese family. Some of you have met Kento and Masami, their Japanese family that joined us. If we go on, then it's this is our weekend away in September 2008. a few other Japanese people added to us. Noyuri was from a New Frontiers church in Winchester, originally from Japan, studied in Winchester, England, and then did a year team and then has come out. She's wonderful, just great help translating, and really excited about what we're doing there. It's great to have some Japanese people coming in. And then the next picture, this is August 2009. So this is kind of 2 years later. This is us a few months ago. And this is a Sunday morning. We're normally about 25, pushing a bit onto 30 sometimes. We always have at least 25% of the number who don't know Jesus, who are people who are not Christians. So that's quite a large number if you think about it. If you have 125 people, would be not unchristians in the church. So it's great fun. We've got a few different nations coming in. He's Brazilian Japanese. She's Colombian. We've got another Brazilian, a Chinese guy. We've got a great field of people coming in from different nations, and it's very exciting. We're bilingual on a Sunday, but most of the other interaction on the Sunday morning is in Japanese. We're doing life groups. We're really building up a number of ways that we can reach people. So one of the things I'd like to just give you is a few prayer points for us. One back. Yeah, great. So if you think of us, you think of Grace City in Japan. I know you pray. Thank you so much for doing that, standing with us at different times. I'd love you to pray for more people to get saved. And that's always a church planter's prayer is please pray that people get saved, that people get added. And not just kind of people who embrace Jesus, but really kind of get right through the kind of normal Christian birth, as Watchman Nee says. We need the whole package deal. So salvation, baptism in the Spirit. Without that, it's never really going to make it. We need to see people come right through and understand and receive and encounter God. So that's a huge one for any church plant, that the new people coming in really receive the Holy Spirit and understand the church. So much changes through that, and we really wanted to see that. Friendships, it's great you're talking about that, the E word, and how do we build friendship. It's all about that, meeting people, loving people, bringing people in. We have an expression at Grace City called building a highway. You know, it's from Isaiah. It says, raise up, clear the stones, raise a highway. People come in, into the gates, that sense of helping people into the city. We call it Grace City. It's a sense of helping people into the city of God, into the kingdom. How do we move people up the ramp into the city? What things can we do to enable people to connect with us? People who've never heard, never been to church. Can we do things that give them an opportunity to key into friendships, relationships, that then they can maybe come on a Sunday? Like, we had a quiz night. Well, we had a bowling night. That was great. And that was kind of low-level ramp. People can get on the ramp. It's easy. Bowling, I can do that. And it's in a neutral venue. So it's something they can do. They can, these people, lots of English people. Oh, great. I'd like to speak English. So they can do that. The next event was a quiz night. They actually love quizzes and game shows. And we did that in the church venue, but on a Sunday night. And then we could say, by the way, we actually meet here in this place. So they've, I've been here. This is okay. These people are all right. This is fine. Then they can come on a Sunday. So there's that kind of ramp, that building up, helping people. So we need grace and wisdom to know what things can really connect with people. How can they hear and understand a way of bringing people into the city, bringing people into the kingdom of God that begins with something as simple as a coffee or bowling. So pray for that. Pray for those. You know, we want to do it well. We want to do things that they enjoy, things that Japanese people can understand and connect with. So that's great. Please pray for building a highway. We have an exciting opportunity in 2 weeks from now. Well, actually, this coming Sunday, Terry and Wendy Virgo, for those of you who wouldn't know who they are, Terry leads the family of churches that we belong to, New Frontiers. He's like a father for so many people around the world in terms of what he's given his understanding of grace, his apostolic gifting to help establish and plant churches around the world. So if you haven't heard of him, he's great to have come and visit your church. He's a great speaker, full of the Holy Spirit, and things happen when he comes. So Terry and Wendy, his wife Wendy, will visit us, and he will come to our little church plant next Sunday. So that would be great to have Terry, and then he's speaking at the Japan Pentecostal Leaders Conference. So I managed to get him invited, and so I've got this great big platform, this kind of, this window to say, this is who we are, this is what we believe in, and what are you? Well, we're this tiny little church plant in Nagoya. So we've got major profile, major exposure, and it comes back to me, to us, to what we're doing. So it's kind of scary, but it's such a blessing. Terry might not get out again, you never know, but his message of grace, his understanding of what that means to be a church together, the ministries of the Holy Spirit coming, being distributed and given to the church, just the understandings that the church, we can bless the church in Japan with. So we're called to be a blessing to the nations. We want to not just, we've got our own little church on New Frontiers, little empire. This is not what we're trying to do. We're trying to bless the nations. We're trying to bring and give and love and serve. So this is a way that we can bless the church in Japan. I'm very excited. Can you tell? Very excited. It's huge. And we had a prophetic word in the summer. Someone prophesied over me and the church that it was a picture of a dam and God's the sense of water breaking through and then the gushing forth of the water. It's a common picture, and you can become cynical with that. I believe it. I know God wants to see great outpouring of His Spirit and growth and influence and size for Little Grace City Church. That's what we all need to believe for, that God wants to use us to be influential, to bless, to bring in the kingdom of God wherever we are. So that in that prophetic word contained a phrase that said, and this increase and this growth, it will be very key for you to have Terry come and visit, Terry and Wendy. That visit will be key for you in this picture of God expanding you as a church. So I am very excited, not just because Terry and Wendy are coming, but because God spoke to us about them coming. You see, He's a man just, and she's a woman just like you and me. But God uses them, and God has given him. He has given the apostles, are given to the church. They're like gifts themselves. So he is just a man, but God has given him. He is a gift to us. And so he will be bringing and doing and being who he is. But I know that God has spoken to us as a church that his being with us is going to help us to see what God wants to do in the church. That's exciting. God's spoken. Even more exciting in a way is that we have now, next slide, got God's lavish grace translated and now being printed this week. Yeah, we're pretty tight. The conference is the following week. It's being printed as we speak. This is Kami no zeitaku na megumi. That means God's, actually, it's not lavish because the word in Japanese was a bit tame, a bit religious. So we went a bit out there. That's a kind of direct one from the Bible. God's, he lavished on us with, so it's kind of taking the NIV word. And so it's kind of a bit tame. So this means, zeitaku na means like luxurious. So it's not quite, it doesn't quite fit, but it expresses that sense that God is over the top. And the thing that sealed it for me, that the translation of the title, was that I had one guy speak to me, one Christian, but I told him the names, and he emailed me back. He said, I really don't like that. And it's because it has this kind of meaning of almost luxury, like driving a, he didn't say a Cadillac, he said another car that was kind of naughty to have a nice car, as if that's, it's nothing to do with that. So it's this kind of cagey old thinking about Christianity and what God's like. I said, yes, that's exactly the response I want. People go, what? That's not right. That shouldn't happen. No, we don't. It's lavish. It's luxurious. It's over the top. We don't deserve it. It's outrageously, and if we understand grace, it causes people to say, how can that be? You mean I can just do whatever I want and God still loves me? Yes! When you start to realize the amazing breadth and luxuriousness of God's grace, that's what we want to try and communicate. So this book is going to go out. We're trying to get, I've never published a book before. I tell you, I'm really tired. This is a big effort. Tiny church plant, we're trying to publish a book, run a conference there. So I'm like, I'll just sit down now. Thank you very much. No, I am. I'm just looking at that makes me tired. But I like it. I like it much better than the original. The original was this tiny little... Anyway, I won't go into that. So it's expansive, waterfall, let's... So please pray that this book gets into the hands of as many legalistic people that don't understand, pastors who haven't seen grace, everyone who can read and be impacted by this message. This is the heart of what we believe. God's grace, Jesus, given to us. His lavishness that he has given us. So please pray for this book. Please pray for it. We're still, I think the flyers are being made. We're doing, just that God would use this to bless the nation. Amen? Let's bless this nation with the message of grace. And this is great ammunition. This is great opportunity to do that. A wonderful book. So if we just go back, I think there's one left on this. Leadership, churches and what God chooses to do happens through people. It happens through leaders. I need your prayers. I really do. This is not just Super Tom's off to Japan. I am very needy. I am very, I'm very weak. I am very lacking in every area. And so I need you to pray for me that God would do something great. We want to build a great church for God, not that, I've heard of Tommy and he's great. No, we are wanting to do something that people say only God could do that. It's more than we could do that people say, oh yeah, I could do that. I don't want something that I could do because that's not very much. I want something that God does that lifts his name and his glory in the nations. Okay, would you do that? Would you pray for me as I lead this little church, as I try to bring people through, raise up gifting and people in the church? Okay, that's very good. So that's a little kind of overview update. And does that help you pray for us a bit more? I'm going to try and send a newsletter out. I should get someone else to do it because Cindy's like, hello, Tom, email. I'm like, oh, yes, I'll get that to you. But so we'll need more communication. I think that'll be helpful for us at church. But this gives you an update. Hopefully you'll get something else before I come next time. But hopefully that catches you up again in what we're doing. We feel joined to you. We lived here. We worked with you. We prayed with you. We've gone out, but there's still a connection with you, not just because we were here, but we're a part of a family churches together on a mission, aren't we? What a great, I love being part of this family of churches. This is the best. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us into that. So that's very exciting. Okay, I would like us to, if you have a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 11. And I would like to preach as well as give some sharing on what we're doing. It will come up on the screen if you don't have Bibles. We find that in Japan, we always try and help people with reading and following. And, we have it translated and put up in both. So it just helps to read that. And going to read this together. So Mark 11, verse 15 to 17. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power and its sharpness to pierce the very heart and soul of those who listen. Thank you that this message does not depend on piercing and sharp words from me, but that your word stands by itself. It has power within it. I thank you for the truth that you have chosen to speak about through this story, that you chose to include this amazing spectacle of your son in the word that we have to read. And we ask you, Father, I ask you that your truth, that what you want to say will come through, will communicate, that we would be changed by what you say to us today. We love you so much. We want to grow. I pray that as we leave here, there'll be that new sense, I met with God today. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for your presence with us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you that you're with us. Where two or three are gathered, you are in their midst. We have no doubt that you are here, but we ask you, come closer, come nearer, do more than you already have. We ask you to do that in Jesus' incredible name. Amen. I've been watching as you have the events unfold in Haiti. I think none of us could be unaffected by what has happened. The questions in my mind, in your minds, why there? I mean, the worst place possible. You kind of just dealing with the images and the loss, the families. Some of you may know people who have joined the National Guard or gone out. It's wonderful to see America's response taking a lead in that. It's wonderful to see all that you're doing. And I want you to imagine that, think about what if these amazing supplies and medical equipment and SUVs and all this that are being loaded on trucks in America. I mean, I love those pictures of these huge planes with, a hospital being loaded on. I mean, that's amazing to me, thinking about the resources that we have to go to a earthquake zone or a disaster zone and be able to give the water treatment or the medical setup facility. That's impressive to me. I'm not really technical, so when I see technical stuff and people doing that thing, flying planes and doing that, I'm impressed. That's why I love Turbogun. I think these guys are amazing what they do. So I just try and help and sell the things, but they make it. And so that's impressive to me, and this stuff is pretty impressive too. So four-wheel drives that drive over, earthquake, buildings have fallen down, all this equipment. Imagine your dismay if you saw those four-wheel drives that have been given for the relief in Haiti being driven on the nice dirt roads in Haiti by people vacationing, and they have used those vehicles to have a four-wheel drive off-road holiday, and they have stolen those or acquired those vehicles, and now they're using it for their own use, and now they're driving, and there's pictures on CNN of these pictures of these people driving these SUVs having a great time. Imagine the outcry of the American public if people are doing that. I mean, anger, frustration. Who is that guy? I'm going to nuke him. I'm pulling an F-16. Now, boom! There would be anger and frustration and outrage. I would feel angry. I was like, ah. This is exactly what is happening in this passage of Scripture that we're reading. Something is happening that is totally outrageous. And just this is wrong. This is not right. This produces in Jesus something that we rarely see, because with only really one account of this holy, righteous indignation that we see in Jesus. This is not Jesus angry man, like he needs to go to anger management control. This is holy, deep, righteous anger at something that is wrong in the temple. So what has happened? What have we seen? We have seen that the temple is now being used for a commercial enterprise. It is commercial real estate. It is a mall. It is a place where things are bought and sold. That has become the main focus of this area of the temple. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a kind of visual picture of what we're talking about, because when we think about the temple, we kind of got an idea, maybe a nice building then. Well, there were. I'm not going to go into detail, but there were special places in the temple. It wasn't just free-for-all. You couldn't go. You had to have special passes for different places. You had to be a woman for one place, a man for another place, a Jew in another place. So we're going to look at the plan of the temple. I think that's the next one. So it's not very clear. Couldn't find a very detailed map, but you see, it's hard to be in both places at once, isn't it? So I'll do a little bit over here. Is that okay with you guys? And then I'll come over there. I've not forgotten about you. So if you look, you can see that in the middle here is the holy bit, the important bit, the Holy of Holies, the court of the women, the altar. And then around that, you had the court of the Israelites. That's where the Jews, the Israelites, got to go. That was you felt pretty special when you're going in there. And then outside of that, you had the court of the Gentiles. That was if you weren't a Jew. If you weren't an Israelite, you could go there. If you were God-fearing, you could go there to worship and to offer sacrifices to God. So there was a place there for them. So if we go to the next picture, you can see this is a kind of artist's impression scale model of it. That drawing that I just showed you, there's the important bit in the middle, and there's the kind of court of the of the Israelites outside, and then outside of that, you had the court of the Gentiles. And this is where this event took place. And Jesus' response and his indignation was not the fact that just that there was all this commercial activity. I mean, that was just over the top. If you wanted to offer a sacrifice to God, you couldn't just bring your own, like your own dove that you had. You needed a perfect one, and the only perfect ones were being sold by the people who had the perfect doves. And you couldn't just use your own money because you had to have special temple money to pay the people with the special doves. So it was a racket. I mean, they were raking it in. This was commercial business. Someone had a great idea. I know, let's have different money. And everybody's profiting. It's like, great. So their thinking is not temple worship. God, this has become, how much money can I make? Commercial. And this is where it was happening. But Jesus was not so bothered about the fact that there was commercial activity going on. Hear this. That was not actually the main thing. The main thing was this. That where this activity was going on, where all this trade and industry and tables and busyness was taking place, in the court for the Gentiles. It was a court where the people who did not belong could come and find God. Jesus' righteous indignation and anger was because my house will be a house for the nations. This place is for the people of the world to come to me. And so his anger was birthed from that reality that they were turning his house for the nations, the space for the nations to come, they were turning it into a commercial shopping mall. Jesus quoted Isaiah, and he quoted from Isaiah 56, verse 7. Let me read this to you. I think it's coming up. These, as in the foreigners, other people, I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. There you go, house of prayer. Jesus read it, memorized it, quoting it. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. God's heart has always been, from the very beginning, before this planet was created, I want a people for myself from every nation. His plan was to celebrate his glorious greatness with people for all eternity from every nation. That's the vision. That's where it's going. That's the end. You know, when we talk about Franklin Covey and Stephen Covey and all that kind of management techniques, begin with the end in mind. You know, the end in mind is eternity with God for people with him. Utopia. We're trying to make it work. It doesn't work. Communism failed. Other people have tried to work out. There is only one utopia. That is God with his people through Jesus Christ, with him celebrating for all eternal ages. That is why we have a message to tell. It is the only message. It is the only way to God. This is in a nation where I live, where there are many roads, there is only one way. There is only one way we can become, and we can kind of try and water that down. We have to preach the gospel straight. It is truth. It is. There's no way round it. There's no side route. There is only one way. And God had that in his heart before he created the planet. And so when we see and read the progressive revelation of Scripture, we like to divide it up into systematic theology, but the flow of chronological order helps us to understand God's intent through his word, speaks of his passion to win the nations and bring them in also. So when God spoke to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, where it all started, he chose one man. And he spoke to him, he said, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and you will be a blessing to the nations. All the nations will be blessed through you. That's right in the beginning. That's before anything's happened. There's nothing. There's no temple. There's no church services. No Chris Tomlin. There's nothing. This is prime starting gospel. And if we look in the New Testament, it says God was advanced. God was declaring the gospel in advance to Abraham. Don't you love when the New Testament writes about the Old Testament? Because it's really helpful, because I'm like, then I really do know what that means, as opposed to kind of what we kind of think it means. It's really helpful. I like it when Paul does that. It's like, great, he's explained that verse, I understand. Then you can understand how he thinks about those things, and then we can do it. So God is announcing the gospel in advance. He is saying to Abraham right at the very beginning, you will bless the nations. Through you, I will bless all the nations. So right from the very inception, the church, as it was born through Abraham, it is for the nations. And then right the way through, when we read David and Solomon, the house, the presence of God, the people, it was always about the nations. Isaiah, I love Isaiah. I love the 50s, the 60s. It's all about God's cosmic plan. The nations, bring them in. This is hundreds of years ago. So God has always got that in his heart. How am I doing? You hearing me okay? Hearing me okay? It's good. I feel like Madonna. Right. Very good. So don't ask me how that feels. So God has always got the nations on his heart. So we see this heart for the people of the people outside, the people who can't come in. And so Jesus comes and he is saying the same thing. He is expressing the same heart of God. Jesus was God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. And so he brings the same, he's like his Father, just like the Spirit. I am just like the Father. They're one. And so they express the same in different ways. We get to touch and feel Jesus, to understand him, to listen to him. We couldn't touch the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he brings in God's creative design, sending his Son in the flesh. He brings the truth and the passion of God's heart and expresses it in that way. So Jesus says, there are others, the nations. That's what he's angry about. Jesus thinks others. There are other sheep that I must also bring in. Remember that, John 10? Jesus is always alluding, there's more. Israel, wake up. I'm here for the nations. I'm here that everyone might come to my Father. So Jesus is angry and he is kicking them out because there is no room in the temple for the nations. There's no space, there's no area, there's no place for people to come from outside to seek the God of Israel. And that is what Jesus was angry about. Now, what I want to speak about on the back of that is, have we got room? Have we got space? Have we got place for the nations? Where's the room in our churches, in our lives, for the nations? And I cannot, it's very hard for me to go somewhere and speak about something other than God's heart for the nations, because I live with it, I'm there, and I want to stir you and encourage you and reignite some zeal for the nations in your heart. It's not like you don't, because you do. I mean, I'm seeing major nations on flags, and I know that as a church, you have over the years been involved in nations, with India, with Nepal, with England. I mean, you've sent people to South Africa. I mean, you are a church with the nations in your heart, DNA. That's good. That's a foundation. When we lay apostolic foundations, the nations has to be part of that. You have got a great foundation, Christ the King Church. Great foundation. Wonderful. But I want to say, let's apply a bit of heat to that this morning. Let's stir it again and get you all ready to go out and run out from here and fly to the nations. No, it's not just about that, as you will see. So, are you still with me? Is this good? You want to hear about that? You want to be stirred? You want to get some more fire? All right, good. I want some feedback, some noise. So, very good. So, room for the nations. So, my first point about this is that we need to have people from other nations here. Room for people from other nations here in this church. Room for them in what we do. Room for them in our lives. Room for them where we are. Now, the church, you see, the church, local church in any town, city, around the world, is meant to be an expression of God's plan for his people. It's like an outpost. Remember Philippians? It talks about they're an outpost, a Roman colony. There was big Roman Empire, strong, mighty, don't mess with us. And so they would be there. And then there was the outposts, which were a bit smaller and not so mighty, but they carried with them the might of the Roman Empire. And so they were an outpost
an outpost of Rome. They were proud and bold and fight because we have a mighty empire behind us. That is what Paul talks about us being like that. Philippi talks about the church being like, we're an outpost of glory. We're an outpost of God's kingdom in earth, heaven invading earth. That's what we are. Christ the King Church, you are an outpost of heaven, of glory, a place where God's kingdom is advancing. That is what we do. That is what we're about. Expanding the kingdom through your lives, through your friendships, through your ministries, through your worship. The kingdom of God is coming. God's plan A, the church, to bring the kingdom of God into the world. That's how it started. Small group of guys, small group of people, and then from that place, the kingdom of God advanced around the world. Remember that. It's not a Western religion. It started in Palestine with a few people. God changes the world through small groups of people. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at a small group of people that can change the world for God. That's how it began. You think, ah, it's impossible. We can't change the world. They had 100 and how many people in the upper room? Holy Spirit came, about this. They changed the world. It went round the world. You say, oh yeah, but there it was different. Same Holy Spirit, same God, small group of people, changed the world. Want to change the world? I want to change the world. I want to change the world because I want people to know how great, how glorious, how incredible our God is. He is worthy of every piece of gratitude and praise and honor that he can get. So the church is an outpost of glory. It is a place where God is present, and it is a place where there is no Greek. Colossians 3:11, if you're writing notes, write that down. Great verse. No Greek, no Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That is kind of the bread and butter Christianity 101 for the church. That is who we are. There's no barriers. There's no rich, poor nations, upper class, lower class, blue collar, white collar. You know, we are all... I'm out. This thing takes a beating, huh? Yeah, yeah. Very good. You super glue it on there. So, there is no barriers in Christ. They've come down. I mean, when Paul talks about it, he talks about Jew and Gentile and those divisions. They hated one another. Samaritans, yuck! Get them away from me! Don't touch them. We don't have quite that same... Well, we do. Human nature hasn't changed. Jesus... through his word is saying, in me, all those are down. And those barriers that separate people from nations and racism is gone in Christ, hallelujah. Isn't that the beauty of the church? Isn't that what you love about the church? It brings harmony. No, nothing else can do that. No United Nations plan, no racial integrity. Only Jesus can bring the utopia. Only Jesus can bring the peace that everybody in the world is looking for. There's only one solution. Coming to Christ and all the barriers coming down through him in the church. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the only way. And it will be in heaven. We now see in part, then we will see face to face. We will be there. We will be in this place with God forever. Hallelujah. This is exciting. So God wants the church to look like that now. He wants us to embrace and live in such a way together that is seen and experienced now. I think, it's pretty difficult. I don't like it. It would be easier if there weren't other people in the church. Well, right? I mean, they're the problem. It's not, I mean, it's great. We've got PA and things. The problem is these guys. If only they were more like me. You know, that kind of, we've got to deal with our differences, and only in Christ can they come through. So having the nations in our midst together, inviting people in, is what we're about. And sometimes we read this verse and think, house of prayer for nations. My house will be called a house of prayer for nations. What do we think? We think, oh, as a church, we have prayer meetings for nations. I mean, you just kind of think like that over centuries of church life. House of prayer for nations. Oh, we're a house of prayer for nations. Oh, we're a nice little house and we pray for the nations. Well, that's good. And thank you for praying for us in the nations. I really appreciate it. But that is not what it's about. The church is about nations coming in together. Barriers down, people from different nations coming in. So it's great to see different colors and varieties in this room. Let's make more room for people of other nations. Let's, in Dover, New Hampshire, which is very white American, let's keep looking out for the nations, because God wants it here. God wants it in this church. This is a church at its heart for the nations, right? Is that, do I hear an amen? Is that what you want? Is this good? We want nations here? Happy to have people from different nations? So let's make more room. Let's clear out some stuff for them. Let's think, how can we do that? It's not just leadership. going away. How do we make more room? But each of you, how do I make more room? How do I, oh, there's someone from, it looks like from another nation. They don't seem to be talking English too well in the checkout queue. Hi, I'm Jack, and you know, do you need a hand? That is making room for nations. That's making room for people who don't belong, who are different, who are odd, who, what are they doing? You know, it's easy to respond in the way we normally do. Well, oh, can you see what they're doing, that shopping cart? I mean, man, where are they from? This is not to be our attitude. Our attitude, we had it this morning. Our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. What was his attitude? Get this Walmart stuff out of here and get them in. That was his attitude to the nations. What is ours? Have we room? Not just here, room, flags, and maybe some, I don't know. But in your life, in our hearts, we're the church people. Remember, living stones, not just a meeting on Sunday, but people joined together by the Holy Spirit working. There's room. Is there room for the nations? Can we make some more space? Have you got any more space for people from other nations? That is what we are as a people. That is our DNA. As we're building the church, Grace City, we speak about that a lot. We're Grace City. We're Nagoya, Japan, and the nations. That's from day one. That's what we're preaching. We're going to the nations. We're going to change the world. And we want to see people raised up, sent out, vision statements, gather, grow, go. This is just natural. This is what God wants, natural. God wants the church to grow, right? Is that good? Does that sound good rather than the other way? God wants us to grow. That means more people. That means more size, more influence. That is God's heart. Mustard seed, do you remember that? That is God's heart for us, to expand, to grow. Throw wide the tent pegs. You know, all these verses, they all mean something. They're all going together in the same way. You with me? Good. So we are looking to see people come through. And it's funny, I was listening to one of the prophetic words or the pictures, including people from who weren't Christians, other things about destiny, and it's great. Actually, you know, we do have, whether you kind of find your own, it's often we all have our own individual destiny, and God brings us in. And God's on us. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He's got plans for you. All you young guys here starting off, what does God want me to do? That's good and right. But I tell you what, I have a destiny for all of you. I have a mission and a calling for all of you. You want to hear it? You want to hear it? Yeah. This is the mission and the destiny that God has given every one of us who've come to Christ, to come to him. It says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For I'm with you to the end of the age. That is your default reset button on your computer. That is what we're called to do. Whether you go off and fly jet planes in I don't know where, or deliver water missions, or you're a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, whatever you're called to do, whether you're a pastor or an apostle or a super duper worship leader, at the core of your being, you are a worshiper of God, and he's asked you to make disciples of the nations. You believe that? Does that ring true? Does that give you any destiny? So whatever you're kind of, what do I do? And lots of indecision about what we need to do. You have a mission, and that is to make disciples of all nations, wherever you are, whether you're in anywhere, you can make disciples of all nations, which leads me to my next point, number two, and that is room for others, not just nations. We were talking about nations, people from literally other nations being part of us, welcoming us, and us welcoming them, but also we want to have room for other people. So the challenge here that I want to bring is that it's very easy to be focused on ourselves and life kind of, we have to segment life off. And it's very hard sometimes to kind of pull it all in and allow what's happening on Sundays and what we do in our quiet time kind of spill out into our everyday life, right? It's just that integration. When we see Jesus' life, we see this whole integrated perfect union with the Father. What do you want me to do? And we like that. That's what we want, isn't it? Isn't that what you want? When I see Jesus' life, when we read about him, I think, I want to live like that. I want to live like Jesus lived. I want to do the things he did as if, you know, I want to live like him. And so one of the things that Jesus did well is that he made space, room for people. He made room for interruptions. He made room to be aware of others. Remember, Jesus in the temple, he's removing the stuff so others can come in. In our lives, there's stuff, there's thinkings, there's preoccupations, there's lifestyles that stop us from being available, having space in our life for others. Are you with me? That makes sense. We have things, I don't know what it is,
Everyone's different. Some people are preoccupied with what they look like. And so whenever they're going anywhere, it's my clothes and how do I think? You know, this doesn't make much room for other people because you're thinking about what I look like. Now, it's good to look nice and comb your hair and, you know, get clean. But do you know what I'm saying? This can be big. And I know you've got young people here. You'll look great. But, you know, we don't want to be just thinking about what I look like because we are about what other people look like, what they are like, not, ooh, they've got American Eagle clothes. No, we're looking at what are we seeing? Are we seeing what's going on with them? Are the friends that we're with, what is happening? Can we speak? Can we help? Can we pray? Not thinking about ourselves, but thinking about other people. Does that connect? Does that connect with you? Others, thinking about space, clearing the space to enable others, not just in the church and other nations, but also for other people. It means, you know, guys that travel, you know, sitting down, all you want to do is, the last thing I want to do is to talk to somebody else. I've got it up to here. I mean, I felt that a little bit coming from Japan, you know. Fortunately, I was sitting next to Simon. But I was thinking about, you know, I know Marion often talks with people, very friendly, very, you know, he often tells me about his conversation he has on the plane. Sometimes I just want, I need my own space. But have I got a Jesus attitude that says, this person next to me maybe doesn't know Jesus? And it's hard, isn't it? You, it's coming up. You feel it's like, oh, go away, go away, go away. I just want. It does, doesn't it? You know, we can't be super spiritual. This is humanity trying to make sense here. God, live by the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. Now keep in step with the Spirit. We know that. Of course, I'm born of the Spirit. But keeping in step. How do I keep in step? How do I keep making space in my life, in my day? Now, all of you are very different. I'm seeing moms and business people and students and graduates, all different, but same word to you, making room, making space for others, for other people. So I want you today to think about your own space, your own area, your own thinking, your own calendar. Sometimes I have to do this on Wednesdays. I have, I'm out. I'm not home for dinner. I'm actually, that time is for me to try and go out with people. I've got some guys that I know that I'm trying to build friendships with. And I've tried to put some space, you know, in your outlook, a little bit of space. Put some space in. This is for others. It's not just for the things I'm doing and all the things I've got to do, but this is for others. So I try and use that. Now, so I'm going to tell you, it gets used up and then I'll do something else. But I'm trying to make some space for others. It's easy, especially for pastors. You think, well, they're just like really telling the gospel to everybody. Actually, they're the worst. Terrible at sharing the gospel because they're kind of so full of all the stuff they're doing for the church that they forget to, you know, it's hard, isn't it? Challenging. So we all, from the top to the bottom, for whoever you are, we need to enlarge the space, clear out the rubbish, get some space in the outlook, put it in your calendar, but not just time. Sometimes it's just thinking, like in the morning, thinking, who am I working with? Who? What's going on in their lives? Have I heard anything over this last week that is someone saying, help me? Is there someone calling out, come over here and help us? Remember, I love that Paul heard that vision. Come over here and help us. Is there someone that you're with on a day-to-day basis who is actually saying, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me? And you're not listening because you're focusing on there's no space for that. Maybe it would take 5 minutes on the end of your devotion to say, this is space for others. There's a little 5 minutes that I can think about those people that might need me to just answer that question that I had a while back that I've forgotten about. So let's clear some room for others. Let's be like Jesus was. Let's expand not only our church, put more flags up. Let's have some, I don't know, something for other people. Let's meet people in the supermarket queue. Let's connect with nations, not just nations, other nations as in entities, but also others. Because remember, when Jesus was saying this, America wasn't here, but it was physically, but people, I don't know all the history, but you know, as a nation you weren't, right? I got that bit right. I kind of, you know. So when he's talking about the nations, who is he talking about? Oh, he's talking about you and me in England and people in Japan. So from this hub, from Palestine, the nations are us. So I'm not just saying, well, I don't know any nations. Actually, you are going out to the people who are the nations. The people of America are included in the nations, the others, the people outside who Jesus was talking about.
You understand that? You, the people around you that you live with, work with, are the nations. So don't think that I'm just saying you all need to go to Japan. Oh, no. You are here to reach the nations. The American people are part of this house of prayer for nations. Amen? The people you live with, you work with, you play with, the people you do sports with, these people are part of the nations. And God wants you to have room. He wants to enlarge your space for them. He wants to kick over some tables in your life, some preoccupations with money maybe, with stuff, with things that you're pursuing that actually leaves no room for other people. And that's the challenge that I want to bring. And as I'm preaching, I'm sitting right here. I feel it as I'm praying. I'm like, Tom, you know, you just need more space. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking of this guy. I'm thinking, yeah, my Wednesdays, aha, man. It's Simon. Simon's here. He knows that I haven't done that. You know, we need to be encouraged. We need help. And so I hope that today it is kind of this word, room, kind of room. Do you use room? You have room. It kind of speaks of space. And anyway, maybe it doesn't connect. So I was trying to think of a word, room for nation, that space, area. I don't know, kind of the best American way, but, huh? Acreage. Yeah, Marion thinks acres, right? We think meters, so he thinks big. That's good, that's good. If it works for you, think space, think room, think enlarge yourself for others. We are here for others. We exist for him. This church exists for others, right? There's that, you know, this is for them. This is for these people driving past. This is for them. This is space for them to find God. This, we are building a highway. We are doing things so that they can come into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. More people ushered into the glorious reality of knowing Christ Jesus. And if you are here and you are going, what is this guy talking about? You've not really been along much. Maybe you're looking in. Maybe this is your first time, second time, third time. And some of what I've been saying is a bit like, oh, it sounds very passionate, but I don't quite. This, what I am communicating is that what Jesus is saying is that he welcomes you to this place. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you here. Jesus wants you to know him through this group of people. I don't know all these, but I know some people here believe in Jesus. But if you don't, this is a place for you. This church has room for you. We are here for you. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So these people that you've kind of got to know maybe a little bit, these people are on a mission to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not to get you to join something so you can give your money to them. You know, we are not a church. We don't do that. That's not what we want. We want you to know Jesus. And we have to do some things to help that, like screens and parking and signs, so that you can do that. But actually, what do we want to say to you? You are very welcome. And Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to know him. Jesus is the most wonderful person you could ever know. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He will lift you out of your sin and your shame and your guilt. And he can forgive you. He can heal you. He can do anything. He can change you from feeling broken and needy and no purpose to knowing forgiveness and guilt-free, knowing his grace, having purpose and meaning and family. This is an amazing deal. You won't find this on the end of the aisles in Hannaford. This is beyond. This is luxurious. This is amazing. This is an offer too good to be true. And sometimes it takes a bit of time to understand it all. That's okay. It's fine. This is where you're very welcome to come. There's room. There's space. I know there are rooms and homes of people in this church. They'd love to have you come in. Come in and study the Bible. If you've got questions, ask them. Find someone you think prayed a good prayer and looks like they know about Jesus and ask them, can you tell me a bit more? Can we meet? I bet you they'd say, of course. I bet you there'll be a little space in their diary because I lived and worked with these people. I was here in the church for 2 years. I know these people. They have space for other people. So if you are that person, you are very welcome here. And Jesus wants to extend his invitation. Come to me, if you who are heavy burdened and weary, come to me and find rest. Come and find meaning and purpose and life. Come and have your deepest need dealt with. That is forgiveness of sins. You have offended him. You have gone your own way. You have decided, I don't need God. And maybe something's causing you to come back and maybe look for him. But that is because you have gone away. And the only way back in, the only way back to wholeness, healing, right thinking is through Jesus Christ, is by saying, God, I am sorry. That's called a repentance. That means, I am sorry for what I've done,
what I've been. I know I am sinful. I feel it. I know all this mess. I know. And I come and I say, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sin. That's what it means. Jesus died on the cross instead of you. It's not just a crucifix. It's Jesus, the Son of God, taking your sin on himself, dying so that you can live forever. Remember that idea of utopia? People want to live forever. People are interested in the afterlife. That's why I have reincarnation. That's why I think people know that something about us is different from animals. We have soul. We have spirit. We are eternal. This is my earth suit. Tom Eaton will go on forever. I know it's scary, but so will all of you. So will all of you. You are you. You're eternal. And you will either be eternally separated from God in hell, which is a real place, or you will be with him forever. And you know what? We are saying to you today, you don't have to go there. Today, you do not have to be separated from all these wonderful things I've been talking about, because Jesus died for you. And the offer available to you here is that Jesus can forgive your sin and give you life forevermore. Not just when you die, but now, real life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Isn't that right, Don? There's real life here in this church. Life, people who know the answer to life. We have the answers. Sometimes get it wrong, don't look quite like Jesus would do it, but we're following him. We're on a journey with him together. So this is the offer to you. And if you have a question, if what I've been saying, God has been stirring, because sometimes the words are going on, but actually inside God is starting to work on you. He knows your heart. He knows you. He knows you from before you were born, and he wants you to come to him. He is about others, people who are on the outside coming in. So if you're here and that's you, I want to encourage you to either come to someone today and say, I'd like to follow Jesus. I like that. I want that. How can you help me? And that'll be it. For the rest of us, I want to encourage us and leave you with that challenge that as Jesus surveyed the scene in the temple, and as he knew that what was happening there was not his father's intent, he cleared room for the nations. He cleared room for other people. Christ the King Church, let's clear room for the nations. Let's clear room for people who are outside, who don't belong. Let's clear room in our hearts and minds for people who don't know, people who aren't in our club, people who aren't doing the same things we're doing. Let's make room for the nations. Let's make space. Let's clear out things for the nations, for people who don't know Jesus Christ. Amen.
Great. Thanks, Tom. We're just going to be finishing up in a moment. Before we do, you'll see on your the chairs.